It'll put you in a position to be approved of God. That's what we all want. So, all right, take your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43. Isaiah, chapter 43. We're starting a new section this morning in our basic Bible beliefs. Isaiah, chapter 43, and we're going to look at justification and imputation. Isaiah, chapter number 43. Anybody before they want to sign up for that Bible study, if you got any questions, just please let me know. We'll try to answer those questions the best that we can. All right, Isaiah chapter 43, and look with me in verse number 25 and 26. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified." When a person trusts Jesus Christ, God justifies that person by imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to him. Two of the greatest Bible doctrines on salvation are the doctrines of justification and imputation. So I'll read that again if you need to fill out the blanks. When a person trusts Jesus Christ, God justifies that person by imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to him or her. And two of the greatest Bible doctrines on salvation are that of justification and imputation. And so as we go through here again, we're seeing over and over again what God did for us when he saved us. And when you fully grasp and understand the process of what he did when he saved you, you'll understand that there's nothing you can do to lose that. And I'm thankful for these great salvation doctrines, and that my salvation, the salvation that I have, is God's, that he gave me. And there's nothing I can do to mess that up. And as we look through here, we're going to see that. So God performed, justification is a work performed by God, whereby those that put their faith in Christ are declared to be righteous in his eyes and free from the guilt and punishment of sin. I'll mention this again in just a moment, but if you've ever heard the definition of justification given, some people say it's just as if I had never sinned. And God gave you that. He justified you the day that you got saved. He made it just as if you had never sinned. And he did that by giving you the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the imputation part. And we'll get to that here in just a second as well. But justification is defined in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 through 26. And it has a connection with God not remembering your sins. You've heard songs like, "When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb." I love that song. Amen. "When he sees me as worthy and not as I am." Say, what is that? That's justification. That's when he looks at me just as if I had never sinned one day in my life. That's what he did for me when he saved me. And we talked about the new man and the old man, and we still battle with the old man, and we still have to keep it in subjection, and we still have to confess those sins and get right with God, because our old man's not saved yet. It'll get saved when we get a brand new sinless body. But the new man is saved. And that's what God looks at when he sees me, he sees the blood. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. So let's read that one more time, that Isaiah 43, verse 25 through 26. "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake." And, I'm going to pause here for just a second and bring up something here. "Blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake." Whenever Jesus Christ saves us, he gives us his blood, washes us white as snow. He gives us his righteousness. But he said he did that for his sake. He loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. And he does that. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to meet with us. And he wants to commune with us. And he did that for his sake. But you know what? When he did that for us, he saved me from hell. Amen. And he gave me a place in heaven. We talked about a couple weeks ago, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. He did all that for us. But I want to take another spiritual application here for just a second. And it says that he blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And you know, when we sin and when we mess up, even after salvation, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but when we sin and mess up, we're giving him a bad name. We're making a bad reputation for the name of Jesus Christ, for the name of the church and the body that we come together. We give it a bad name when we don't live right, and we have a bad attitude, and we do things. We give him a bad name, and I don't want to do that. He's been good to me. I don't want to give him a bad name. I joke sometimes. It's been a while since I've done it, but if you're going to go out here and dress like the world and just live wicked, I said, don't tell people you go to church here. Tell them you go to the First Baptist down the road. Amen. He said, why? I don't want it to be a reflection on my God and my Bible and my Savior and our church. Amen. You ought not to go out and live wicked. Amen. But if you happen to do it and they ask you where you go to church, tell them you go to another one. Amen. You're already sinning anyway. You might as well lie about it. Don't tell them you come here. But when we do that, I mean, I'm telling you, it's bringing reproach to the name of Christ. It's bringing reproach to Him. People hear of family problems, and they hear of things in sin, and they see your attitude and those kind of things, and got a honk if you love Jesus sticker on the back of your car, and you know those things, and somebody honks, and you start cussing them and flipping them out the window when you're the one with the sticker on the back that says honk if you love Jesus. Amen, because you're having a bad day. It don't matter where you go to church. That's a bad reflection on Jesus Christ. So he said that he blotted out those transgressions. Hey, when you got saved, he made it just as if you had never sinned, did it for his own sake. You know, after salvation, we ought to do the best we can to live right and live clean and live holy and righteous before an almighty God for his name's sake. I preached on the priesthood of the believer not long ago and said the reason why that we dress the way we do and we don't listen to certain kinds of music and the way that we try to behave ourselves is not because we're anybody, but it's because he's worthy and because we are trying to make him look good. Amen? We dress right to keep Jesus clean. It's not for us. It's not to say that I'm anybody. There's certain religious groups that they got their Bible all mixed up. Amen? But they dress just perfect. Their hair's just right. It's just the right length. They wear the right skirts, the right dresses. But they do it in self-righteousness. And that's not the right reason. You know why we try to live right and do right and have a good attitude and listen to the right God-honoring music? We do that to try to keep him clean. So when the world sees us, they see him, not us. And that's why we do those things. That donkey, when Jesus rode in that donkey there on Palm Sunday, they put a blanket over that donkey before Jesus got on it. And they didn't do that to keep the donkey clean. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. They clothed that donkey to keep Jesus clean. Amen. And Jesus lives inside of us. We're a reflection. Some people in this world, you're the only Jesus that they see. That's scary. Amen? And we're not keeping Jesus clean. Even though he is, but when they see us, one of the scariest things, and I've had this said to me before in joking, but I didn't even think it was funny. But to hear somebody say, I thought you were a preacher, or I thought you were a Christian. I don't want nobody to ever say that. Not because it offends me, but because it offends my Savior. Why would I behave in such a way that would cause him to have reproach brought on his name? Amen? And people do it all the time, but I don't want to be the one found doing it. Now back on justification and salvation. He said, I, in verse number 25, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. The brethren will not forget your sins, but God will not remember your sins. He said he wouldn't. Amen. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. I heard an old black preacher preaching one time and said that God cast all the sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and then he put a sign out that said, no fishing. Amen. And thank God he casted them out. In verse number 4, chapter 43, verse 26. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. So he defines justification in these verses. He defines justification as in blotting out the transgressions and not remembering them. Making it as if you had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. Turn to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Let's look at a New Testament example of this great salvation doctrine of justification. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 38. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 38. All right, Acts chapter 13, verse number 38-39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Who's that man? Jesus Christ. And by him all that believe are what? Justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Through that man, through what he did on the cross of Calvary, be it known unto you. He defines it there again. What is it? The forgiveness of sins. It was worded back in Isaiah as the blotting out of thy transgressions. The forgiveness of sin. And he did that for us, and he made it just as if I had never... God did that for you when he saved you. The very moment he saved you. He made it just as if you had never sinned a day in your life. You said, man, you don't know how bad of a sinner I was. He did. Yeah. Amen. So I don't know. You don't know how bad of a sinner I am. We've got several folks in here that have been in ministry, Brother Jeff and Brother Bowen, and got some others in our church that have been involved in ministries and even going into prisons and different places like that. And how many times have y'all heard someone say, well, you don't know what I've done? I don't want to know what you've done, but God knows. And my Bible says here that he can justify you in verse number 39 from what? What does it say? Are y'all there? From all things. Acts 13, 39. From all things. Say, well, I don't understand how God can save somebody that was a child molester or whatever. I don't either. And I don't even want to think about it. It makes me upset. It does. Amen. But my Bible said that he can justify you from all things. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you've gone, what you've done. Jesus Christ can save you and he can justify you from all things. Now, the law of sowing and reaping is still in place. Man. People get in prison, man. Sometimes they get jailhouse religion and they get saved and they want the judge to let them go. And the judge said, I ain't letting you go, sucker. You got to pay for what you did. Jesus Christ forgives you of all sins. He justifies you from all things and makes it just as if you never sinned in the eyes of God. You're saved and you're going to heaven, but you've got to live out your sentence for what you did. The law of sowing and reaping is still in place. People get saved later on and they have to reap through their children. They have to reap through their grandchildren. They have to reap the things that they've done in the past, the sins of their past, and they're going to have to reap those until the day that they die. But I tell you what, you're going to have to reap them whether you're saved or not. And it's a whole lot better to have to reap them when you got God on your side to help you and comfort you and give you peace. And maybe, just maybe, through your salvation, God can use that to help somebody and help them kids. And maybe God can turn the thing around. But without God, there's no hope. And you're still reaping what you sow. But thank God he justified us. People will not forget all things. Amen. There's people that I've hurt and maybe done wrong that will never, ever, ever forgive me. Even though you ask for it. And even though God's already forgiven it. But there are some people they will never forgive. They'll never forget. And guess what? I'm with a clear heart. You say, are you sorry for some of the things? Absolutely. It breaks my heart to think of maybe how I've hurt somebody in the past before, said something or did something to hurt somebody. It breaks my heart. But I asked forgiveness. I gave it to God. And they're bitter tonight or this morning. They're bitter. They're angry at God. They're angry at everybody because they won't give it to God. But I've given it to Him. And I've already asked Him for forgiveness. They didn't want to forgive me. And guess what? They won't ever forget it. But I'm thankful that God does. And I can sleep at night. You say, are you just nonchalant? No, I'm sorry for what I'm constantly sorry for any time I've ever hurt anybody. Amen? I'm sorry for that. I don't want to hurt nobody. But I also know who to go to get help. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that God justified me and made it just as if I had never sinned. When a person trusted Christ, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God declared you to be righteous. So I've never done a righteous thing. Yes, you did the day you got saved. Because God gave you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how wicked of a life you live. When you trust Christ, He justifies you. And again, I said some define justification as just as if I never sinned. God has offered you the best deal that you'll ever find in this life. I'm going to take all your sin and I'm going to take it and put it on my Son Jesus Christ and give you His righteousness and make it like you've never sinned a day in your life. You say, well, how can God do that? How can God fix it where as far as He is concerned, you've never committed one sin? The answer to that is imputation. That's why these two are together, justification and imputation. So what is that? That means to give credit for. To give credit for. God justifies the sinner by imputing the Christ's righteousness to him or her. Look with me in Romans chapter number 4. Amen. Romans chapter number 4. I'm sorry it's so hot in here. I left the lights, or left the air conditioner on, but it's still hot in here. That light right above Carrie's head is like a furnace, that bottom one. We need to turn it off. We'll do it after we get done here. These lights at the bottom, they get super, super hot. So do those ones. All right. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. God imputes Christ's righteousness. He gives us credit for Christ's righteousness. He's the one that lived the perfect life. But when God sees me, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees His righteousness. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's just a good reminder that we're saved by grace through faith. No works, amen. There's nothing we can do to earn that. Verse number 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So we find justification here. There in verse number 5, that God justified them. He made it just as if they never sinned. And his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse number 6. He imputeth righteousness. Verse number 8, he will not impute sin. Now look at verse number 22, Romans 4:22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our what?
Justification.
He had to die on the cross and come and rise again in order for us to have his righteousness for our justification. So we can see in these verses that justification and imputation both work hand in hand. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. You're right there close. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 1. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, this is the verse I want. For they being ignorant of God's... Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, who's the righteousness of God? Verse number 4. What does it say? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Jesus Christ, according to these verses here, is the righteousness of God. He came and was born of a virgin and lived a perfect sinless life. And he died on the cross and he bore your sins and my sins on the cross. Past, present, future. He took our place. He bore our sins. He became sin for us. He became a curse. In the day, the very moment that you asked, that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again, and you, the day you asked Him to save you, however that was, wherever that was, miraculously, all these doctrines we're talking about took place, and God gave you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I mean, what a thing, amen? He gave you the righteousness of His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. And He made it just as if you had never sinned. And now you have the righteousness of God. And this is one of the reasons that we preach so much about people that say, well, I can't quit this and I can't. Hey, I'm telling you, you have the righteousness of God in you, amen? You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You're no longer under a yoke of bondage. He freed you from sin. You can do it. You say, man, I can't do it. Well, God can. Can God not do it? Can God? I mean, God never sinned, amen? So He can surely help you quit sinning, and He can help clean you up, and He starts working on the inside and starts working out, and you have the righteousness of God, and He's given you everything you need to overcome that. You're no longer in bondage to it. You have the righteousness of God. Go back to Romans chapter 5. We'll try to stay in Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. It's good to have our kids back at church, amen?
Amen.
It is. I don't know if they're as excited about it, but we're excited to have them. Amen. Romans chapter 5. The righteousness is offered to the sinner as a free gift. Are you glad for that? Amen. It's a free gift. I tell you what, man, there's people today trying to work their way to heaven. Can you imagine if the Bible said we actually had to do that? They probably charging way too much. I couldn't afford it, amen. They try to charge for everything. But I'm thankful that it's a free gift. Because Jesus Christ already paid the price. It's free to you and I, but it wasn't free to Him. It cost Him His life. Not only it cost Him His life, it cost your sin on Him. Think about that, man. I can't even handle my own sin. as a pastor, sometimes you've got to counsel with folks, or you've got to talk to them, and you hear things you don't really want to hear, and you've got to deal with things that, man, are just beyond comprehension sometimes. And I, as a man, you can barely take that. It's hard, amen? You're like, man, I can't imagine some of these things that people go through. And if everybody's sins in this room had to be on me right now, I'd probably go kill myself. I don't know how I can handle it, amen? I was talking to Brother Bowen this morning. I said, oh, wretched man that I am. I can't even stand myself. Amen. He said, what was that over? A donut. I can't even stand myself. I can imagine taking on, but can you imagine the sins of the entire world being placed on the Lord Jesus Christ? It cost him more than his life. He had to bear that pain. The Bible talks about it, goes into detail on the cross and how God himself even turned his back. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As all the sin, God's judgment on your sin was placed on him. It wasn't free to him. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. And what's a wage? That's something that you work for. That's something that you did something in order to get a wage. Well, your sin cost him his life. Your sin cost him his relationship with the Father. Your sin cost him the devils and the bulls of Bashan the Bible talks about to gnash on him with their teeth when everything was dark. And all that happened to him so that he could give you his righteousness. He traded places with you. Man, what a thing. What a thing that he did for us on the cross of Calvary. And he offers that to us as a free gift. It's free for you. He had to pay for it. Sometimes you want when you wrap your mind around what he did for us and how it's a free gift and you understand salvation, you wonder why people want to try to work for it. Man, well, why are you trying so hard to earn this thing that God gave you for free? You know why? Because they want to believe that they're good enough to do something. That their self-righteousness can get them somewhere because they worked hard enough or they did something. And I'm telling you, we're nothings. We're just a bunch of Gentile dogs. We're nothing but a worm, amen? We're about to start reading the book of Job. Some of y'all already started in Job, and we're going to continue reading through the book of Job this week. And as you go through there, watch how Job describes himself. He talks about himself and his brothers and his sisters and his mother. Talk about just being worms. You know what he's trying to say? We're nothing and he's everything. We're nothing and he's everything. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Notice how many times free gifts through here. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. That we can be made righteous. You say, well, and I've heard it said before, and some of y'all might have also been in any kind of ministry, and even not knocking doors. People say, well, whenever I stop doing this, or whenever I get, you can't stop doing that. You can't get cleaned up until he cleans you up. Amen? Verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through what? Righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave you credit for Jesus Christ's righteousness. And what a thing. Amen. Have y'all ever heard any illustrations, maybe even had it happen to you, where somebody steals credit for something that you did? Amen. Maybe at school or a job, somebody takes credit for something that you've done. Hey, man, I do it to Miss Ashley all the time. She works for me, and man, does a tremendous job, and I'll take credit for it. Amen. But I thank her for it, and I try to give her credit for it. But you know, that's what we've done with Christ. Amen. He gave us, God gave us credit for Jesus Christ's righteousness. Man, I mean, that's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? But He did that the very moment He saved you. And as you understand all those things, you say, man, how can I lose that? So you can't lose that. That's something God did. It's set in stone. It's sealed under the day of redemption. And I don't know how you keep getting around a free gift, a free gift, a free gift. When you work for something, it's a debt. It's not a free gift. But when you understand the new man and the old man and understand that your old man's still lost and it's going to sin and mess up, and you got to keep it right with God and keep it under subjection. Paul said, I got to keep my body under subjection every day. The things I would do, I do not. The things that I do, I would not. And all those great tongue twisters in that chapter, amen, where he talks about his flesh is still lost. And when you understand that, you'll realize, I'm going to mess up because I'm still stuck in his flesh. I'm going to think things I shouldn't. And what do? I just got to get right with God. Amen. I got to get right with him. Doesn't mean you got to get saved again. It just means you need to get right with him. You need to confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Imputation is found in verse 17 of the verse we just read. Justification is found in verse 18. You can go look up sometime. Look up Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 28. It gives you more verses on these doctrines. All right, I want to stop there because I'm out of time. And next week, I'm going to finish up justification and imputation. And Lord willing, we're also going to go through a chain reference on eternal security. If you don't know what a chain reference is, I'll explain it to you next week. But I'm going to try to have a handout for you so you can put them in your Bible. All right? And so I want to go through some of those. And we still have some more salvation doctrines to go over. But I'm thankful that I'm saved.
Amen.
Thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful for what He did for me on the cross. God's been good to us. Nathan, would you pray, brother?
Lord,
my
Father, we just thank you for this time to set aside to learn from your word. And just we're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for what you've done on the cross. We just ask you just continue to be with morning service. Ask you just be with the preaching and the singing. And we just love and thank you for your gift and your precious name we pray.
All right, we'll be back 11 o'clock for the morning service.